Praise the name of the Lord. Amos in the Old Testament. Little message here in the book of Amos. We're going to read here in the fourth chapter, Amos chapter 4, and read beginning with verse number 6. Now, Amos was a prophet who spoke to Israel. And primarily his message was a message of warning to Israel to try to stir them and awaken them to their need to hear the voice of God. His message was not received that well. You'll find that most of the prophets preached to audiences and nations. Some of them even wagged their head, shook their head, like, no, I don't want to hear this. Some of them, the Bible says, were stiff-necked. They were just, before they even heard the message, they'd already made up their mind that they were going to go their own way. And one of the prophets, I believe it was Jeremiah, that the Lord even told him, they're not going to hear what you have to say. They're not even going to accept it, but preach it anyway. Tell them the truth anyway. Now, these words here that I'm going to read to you here in the book of Amos, Amos is telling them and giving them the instruction as to what is going to happen. Here's what has happened. Here's what is going to happen to you if you will hear the voice of the Lord. If you refuse to hear His voice, then you're going to face trouble and calamity and all kinds of things. I think that this is a generation that needs to be reminded that there are consequences for what we do. What you do and how you live, you will have to face it. So if you are a person, you are just living your life without any consideration of the fact that what you do and how you live, there will be a payday. There will be consequences for the way that we live. Let's read here in this fourth chapter of Amos, chapter 4, verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, which he's just saying to them, you don't have enough food. There's not enough food. That's why your teeth are clean. You haven't had anything to eat. And want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, the most crucial time when those early rains were needed so that it would bring the harvest to that place of where the fruit would be what it needed to be. But yet I withheld the rain 3 months to the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it to not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God's dealing with them was even through severity and drought and the lack of food, the lack of water. God was trying to get their attention. Verse 9, I have smitten you with the blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. And the palmer worm devoured them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. Have I taken away your horses, and have I made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils? Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. My, what a strong message that God was sending at that particular time to Israel, to awaken them, to somehow to help them to see that this was the voice of God. This was God dealing with them even through trouble and pestilence and the loss of life and through famine and not enough food and not enough water and all of these things. And the message he continues to repeat, all this comes your way and you continue to ignore me. You continue to turn away from the Lord. God was being merciful to them even through tragedy and trouble to awaken them to the needs, to their need to turn to the Lord. And then he says to them, you need to make preparation. You need to prepare to meet God. Now, I know that is that's a pretty sobering message to hear, that God is saying that he wants his people to make preparation, to get ready for the Lord to come, to get ready to meet God. Can you imagine anything more important than the day that you meet God? That very moment is the most important and really the most incredible thing that you could ever consider, is that one day you're going to stand before God and the gaze of his eyes are going to be not upon a whole nation, not even upon your family, but they're going to be on you as an individual. You are going to meet God. What a horrible thing to meet him and not be prepared for that day. And I speak from a great deal of concern that there are many people that in the hour when they should be the most serious about the things of God, many people are very, very careless about spiritual things. And it's almost as if people are being just kind of rocked into a sleep. It's like people are ignoring the obvious. Everywhere that you look, you can see that these are the last moments of time, the last days. And if there's anything that the church should do, the people of God should do, that all of us should do, is make sure we're prepared, make sure our families are prepared, and to be serious about the time and the day that we are experiencing right now all around us. I think that you have to be blind to ignore what's happening in the Middle East. It's was already been mentioned in this service, but we know that right now Israel is in a very precarious situation. It's very, very dangerous. It's very serious. Israel is sitting alone on this tiny little strip of land and with hardly anyone to defend them, hardly any allies, hardly any defenders. And we know, of course, this is a fulfillment of the word of God, that they would literally be alone in these last days. I was thankful to hear some headlines pop up on my phone, and every once in a while my phone will make a little sound, and then I look at it, and it'll say, breaking news. And this morning, as I was here at the church and making preparation for this service, the breaking news that popped up on my phone was that our president, he made a statement in defense of Israel, for which I am so thankful that he did. And his statement was that the only way to stop the crisis in Israel is to stop the missile attacks against Israel. Thank God. And I trust that he means it, and he'll back it up with the full force and the strength of the United States of America to defend Israel, because anytime we get on the wrong side of Israel, we are in serious trouble in our country. I know that you can listen to all the reasons why Israel's this and the Jews are this, and there's such a spirit now, it's as strong as it's ever been, anti-Jew, anti-Israel, and this anti-Semitic attitude is very strong in our world today, but we stay with the word of God, and our commitment is to Israel because of the Lord and the word of the Lord. You say, well, what's going to happen? Well, Vladimir Putin in Russia, he made his comment 2 days ago. His comment was that he supports Egypt. Who's surprised by that? He supports Egypt. He supports some of the efforts that are going on right now and the attacks. We know that prophetically Israel or Russia is going to be a leader in this league of nations. It's going to come and march into Israel, and it's going to seem like Israel is going to be swallowed up and destroyed, but we know what's going to happen. That all those nations that come against Israel are going to be consumed by the mighty power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My, we are living in these last moments of time, aren't we? Are you prepared? Are you really ready? Are you making the preparation? If not, then get ready. Get ready and take advantage of the opportunity that we have right now to make sure that we're ready, because we know that all these things that we're describing that are going to unfold somewhere in this, certainly before the Antichrist rises to prominence, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make their exit from this place. Amen. Amen. And are you ready for that? Are you ready for the exodus of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope that you are. Southeastern Kentucky had their own little shaking and reminder the other day when a 4.3 on the Richter was measured, the earthquake over in Whitesburg, Kentucky, that was felt as far as down in Atlanta. Of course, we felt it. Many felt it here in London and all over Southeast Kentucky. It was felt in surrounding states. There was a shaking, even in southeastern Kentucky. There's a shaking of hundreds and thousands of earthquakes all over the world every week. Literally hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes every week. Just a shaking that's going on. What is it all? Well, it's a reminder to us to prepare, get ready, wake up, realize where we are. What is the church doing? Well, sad to say, the church in general is saying very little about this, for which I have felt very strongly compelled to talk about this today, because I think that many in the church today, they really would rather stick their head in the sand and just hope it's all going to blow over. And they have the attitude that you'll read about there in 2 Peter chapter 3, those that were scoffers who said, where is the promise of his coming? And saying things like, all things are going to continue as they have from the beginning. Don't worry, it's all going to blow over. Don't worry about it. This couldn't be the end. I can't imagine that anybody who knows anything about God or knows anything about the Bible could ever, ever imagine that what we're experiencing in our world today, that it has no connections to spiritual things or God's timing as far as the end of this age. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And what we are experiencing is a church that would rather talk about everything else except for the obvious, except what we can see everywhere. I've told you many times that I was raised up under an old-time preacher, old-time pastor, who had three themes he preached on all the time. Holiness was one of them. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was the other one. And the third one was the rapture of the church. I heard it all my life, all of my upbringing. He could hardly preach without getting around to at least one of those themes. And many times he'd cover them all three in every sermon. He'd somehow get around to it, that the Lord was coming. And I sensed the reality of it. And I was just a child, just a young person. But I sensed the reality of it because the words he spoke were true. And they were under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And the message was conveyed to me that this world is a temporary place. And I don't need to get so attached to the things of this world. Amen. Acts 17 and 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The times of mercy, the times of opportunity for God to just show mercy again and again and again. We've moved into an age now where God is saying, no, I command you now to repent, because he hath appointed a day. Verse 31 of Acts 17, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. And everyone is going to stand before the Lord and be judged on the basis of the pure and the holy life that Jesus lived, and upon the basis of his life and death and resurrection. And if you don't know the Lord, and if you're not a Christian, you've rejected all that he has done to provide salvation for you. Prepare. Prepare. Major hurricane that affected New York City and New Jersey. Who ever heard of such a thing? That there could be such a storm to affect the Northeast. Maybe it has before, but I don't remember anything of this magnitude to affect the northeastern part of the United States. Sad thing is that there were many people in New Jersey, in New York City, in those areas that were so hard hit, that they didn't heed the warning that was given by the leaders of those states and those cities. A lot of people stayed in their homes. Just about every one of them that did either died or were injured or put in serious circumstances because of their refusal to heed the warning, to make preparation for such a thing to happen. Let me tell you, the Lord, I believe in my heart, with all of my heart, that he wants us to make preparation. He wants us to get ready, to become ready, spiritually prepared for the soon return of the Lord and for the things that are coming upon the earth. Prepare yourself. Get ready that you can survive it. You can experience all these things through the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The reality of the truth of the times that we're in should cause us to be motivated. Knowing that God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God who will judge this world because of their persistence in rebellion and sin. You know, we live in a nation right now that is a nation of scoffers, a nation that makes fun of God, makes fun of Jesus, makes fun of the Bible, ridicules it. Even some of our leaders in our country make light of the Bible, and of course the news media, they spend half of their time making fun of holy things and spiritual things. But you know that every one of those who are scoffers and are making light, every one of those are going to have come face to face with the Son of God. They're going to come face to face. Their knee is going to have to bow. They're going to have to confess, Jesus is the Lord. That's what even the scoffers are going to say. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are motivated by the things that are going on, or we should be motivated by the things that are going on around us. We know the terror of the Lord. We know the fierceness of the judgment of God that's going to come upon this world. And so it ought to motivate us to do all we can for God in these last days. To preach more, to be more faithful in our service, in our ministry, in our witness, in our giving, and everything that we do to be faithful and consistent and live our lives, understanding that we live in a world that's under the judgment of God. We live in a world and the clouds of judgment, the terror of the Lord is just ahead. Now Amos, I read to you the text from Amos chapter 4, and he was preaching to them and saying, listen, God removed your food. He sent famine. He sent all of these things. And I think it's at least four times in just these few verses that I read to you that the response was, with all of this that came your way, all of this shaking and all of this that I came your way trying to get your attention, yet you wouldn't return to me. You wouldn't listen to the voice of God. You wouldn't hear the voice of the Lord. What was the problem with Israel? Some of the same problems that we experience today. When you go back to the beginning of this chapter, chapter 4, you can read through there and you kind of take note of what the circumstance in Israel was. They were wealthy. They were experiencing prosperity. And all of this, all of the goods that they had and all of the privilege and the blessings that they had were blinding them to their own spiritual need, their own spiritual condition. They were wealthy. They had much. They were in prosperity, and they were privileged. And that condition caused them to forget God. Caused them to forget God. You know, one of the reasons why that we need to be thankful and practice it always in our life. You know that our the function of our memory is such an amazing thing. But we remember, and you can many times you can train yourself to remember something by association. One of the things you can do is if you want to remember something, you can put it to a tune. You can sing it, and it will somehow indelibly impress it in your mind. You can, by association, you can remember things. That's the old joke about tying the string around your finger and holding it there. But a lot of us, we forget why we tied it on our finger. But you're supposed, you know, that was supposed to remind you, oh yeah, I was supposed to get this at the grocery store. I was supposed to do this. And you tie that little band around your finger to remind you. By association, we remember things. And one of the reasons why that we're to be a thankful people, a worshiping people, is because by association, we associate everything in our life to God. We associate it all to God. Not to your job, not to your bank account, not to all these provisions, but what you have and the blessings of the Lord that are in your life. You recognize that all of these things have come from God, and so you express thankfulness to the Lord. Amen. I have a house to live in. Praise God for the house. He's the one that provided you with that home. He's the one that has provided you with the funds and the ability to put food in the cupboard. It's God that has provided everything that you have. And so by this practice of worship and thanksgiving unto God, by association, we are continually reminding ourselves, I didn't do this. It wasn't my ability. It wasn't my skill. It wasn't anything of my own doing. God has done it all. I have a car because of God. I have clothes because God has supplied them. My family, my friends, my church, everything that I own and possess, it is all because of God. Hallelujah. So whenever you see those things that you have, when you are putting your clothes on and tying your necktie, remember, God provided that for you. Everything that you have, it has come from the Lord. It is God's favor. It is God's blessing. But wealth and prosperity, if you're not careful, and this is why that I'm convinced that as a nation, the biggest crisis of our nation is the economy and the circumstances of the financial world in our nation. The nation that used to be the strongest nation of the world is way down the list now. We're the largest debtor nation now. Much of this is a judgment of God because we leaned on our own ingenuity, our own ability, and we determined we did this. We're America. We're great. We accomplished this. And all of this, instead of associating it with God and realizing that all of these good things have come from God. And when we have wealth and prosperity, the tendency is you forget God. You forget God. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. All the wicked are bound for the judgments of hell. And all the nations that have forgotten God. Folks, we now live in a country as a whole that has forgotten God. Has forsaken God. Has forgotten God. And we live in a nation that is bound for judgment because they have forgotten the Lord. So the first thing I notice here in Amos chapter 4 is the wealth and the prosperity of Israel that blinded them to their spiritual conditions and their spiritual situation. Another thing that I noticed among in this nation of Israel and Amos is dealing with them was the fact that their worship, they worshiped, they continued to worship. And really, you have to read through Amos to get the full impact of this. They continued to worship, but their worship had no effect upon the way that they lived. They were worshipers. They went right on with their practices, their idols and their sacrifices, and they continued on mindlessly with their practices of worship, but it had nothing to do with God. Today we live in a nation that they just want to do God's service for 1 hour a week, if that much. And then from there on, God is never a thought. God don't think about them, or they don't think about God, rather. They're constantly in that mindset of, you know, forsaking God. And maybe they might give God service a little while on Sunday, but for the most part, their worship has nothing to do with how they live. Nothing to do with how that they live. Titus talks about this same thing. Chapter 1, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and under every good work, reprobate. Church attendance is absolutely worthless, and I might go a step further and say it can do some people a great deal of damage to just do God's service thinking that they're just going to give God an hour or two a week, and they haven't committed their life and their future and everything about their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was going on in Israel. Amos was crying out against a people who worshiped a little bit, but it didn't change them. It didn't affect who they were or how that they lived. And it must. Amen. A third thing was that God had brought all these things, these pestilence and famine and drought, all of these adversities into their pathway to warn them. But they refused. They didn't see it as the voice of God. They didn't hear the voice of God. There is such a blindness, a deafness to the spiritual things that are going on in our world today. Much of the trouble and the calamity that I see in our nation and in the world, I can easily associate it with rebellion against God. A people who have rebelled against God. But we have a whole generation that's going headlong toward judgment. And all of these signs, all of these things that are happening around us, they don't hear the voice. They don't hear the voice of God. I think we need to hear His voice in the hurricane. We need to hear His voice in the earthquake. We need to hear His voice in the calamities that come upon our nation. We need to hear His voice in all the things that are happening around us and realize that many of the things that are going on in our nation, in our world, they are part of the judgments of God already that are coming upon us because of our refusing to hear the voice of the Lord. And Amos spoke to that generation. The fourth thing is that God, even in the midst of all of that mess, God still raises up a voice. He still raises up a voice. Amen. Thank God for preachers of the gospel. Thank God for people of God who are willing to be an effective witness for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amos was really just a farmer. He was insignificant. He didn't have any credentials except just the call of God upon him. But yet Amos warned them. Amos warned them, when you pray for the preachers and the pastors of this country, that God will give to each one courage to speak the truth in love. Amen. The courage to stand up and to voice the truth of God's word, because it's so easy to go with the flow of what is happening in our world today. Who wants to be made fun of? Who wants to be ridiculed? But yet many who speak the truth are made light of, made fun of, and ridiculed for the very things that they speak and they stand for. We saw that in candidates over the last election. Some of them that were some of the strongest voices. I'm speaking about in some of the Senate and the congressional races. Some of the strongest voices for right to life and for some of these important biblical causes. They were some of the very ones that were made fun of, ridiculed. Millions of dollars spent to make them seem like that they were fools. And the world and a nation sometimes believes that lie. But be courageous to speak the truth. Amen. To talk to people who are in their sin, that are not hearing the voice of the Lord, that they don't see the things that are coming upon the earth. They just think it's, you know, just a natural course of things. But they would hear the voice of God, and that there would be courageous men and women of God who will stand up for God in these last days. Hallelujah. We need to make preparation. Need to get ready. Does that mean that we need to know where to put our money to keep it from, you know, being lost? No. There is no safe place in this world for your money except in the kingdom of God. There's no safe place for it. Does that mean that we need to hoard up a bunch of things so that we're ready? No. Not at all. It means get your heart right with God. It means make spiritual preparation. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a few bottles of water stuck back somewhere. That's okay if you want to. But the best preparation you can make is to be right in the center of God's will, serving the Lord, following the plan of God. Make preparations for these days that we're living in right now. Amen. That are crucial and important days. And don't be like so many of Amos's generation, that in spite of the warnings, they went on. They forsook God, had no fear of God, did not respect God's word or God's authority. They didn't observe any of the things that were going on around them, the drought or any of these things. They were just blind to all these things that were happening, as if God wasn't in control. They rejected his authority. They rejected his judgments. They lived and acted like there was no God. Well, as the saints of God, I believe that the Lord can help us to be ready. Amen. And when should you start getting ready? Not January 1. November the 18th. Right now. Get your heart right with God. Amen. Live with an expectancy. That you're not of this world, you're of another world. And live with that hope. And let it be the motivation that causes you to witness to your family and your friends and to speak to them with a newfound urgency and anointing. Don't you see all these happening around you? Children, grandchildren, don't you see all these events happening around you? Get right with God. Prepare to meet the Lord. God often raises up one or two or a few in a family to be that voice of warning to that household and to that family. Be that one. Be the one. Encourage them. And allow the Lord to use you to cause people to become serious about their spiritual needs. Prepare. Get ready. Get ready. The Lord is coming soon. I can't imagine that we've got much time at all. I just can't imagine it. That it's possible that we could face another year even. I can't imagine it. I'm not giving dates or times. I'm just simply saying all these things are moving with such swiftness. And all these things are coming up on the earth, and with such speed. Surely the Lord's coming. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Prepare your family. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. For those of us who put our hope in the Lord, it is a blessed hope. Amen. And the exit from this world is a glorious thing that we do not dread, but we anticipate, because we know that we are going to be instantly removed from all of the things that are going on in this world, and we're going to be ushered in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Leaving all these troubles and trials behind. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Get ready. Amen. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. That's what he told them. Get ready. Prepare to meet God. That's the message this morning as well. Father, thank you Thank you, Lord. Lord, that you're speaking to us, Lord, through so many ways to give warning and to give opportunity, Lord, for these in this the last moments of this generation, just before you come, for people to repent, for people to return to you. Lord, I ask you to speak, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to everyone in this place. And Lord, may we be motivated, Lord, to encourage our loved ones, our families, to prepare their hearts to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.